Good morning. It is Tuesday, June 23rd, 2009. You're listening to the Brain Labor Report.
Listen up. We've got a war zone here today, right in our heartland. And across the USA, these multinational bastards don't use tanks and guns, it's true. But they've declared a war on us. Fight back, it's up to you. Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Death of you and me, but we're not unarmed. Our weapon solidarity, Jim Beals and Karen Silkwood, the list goes on and on. With every year that passes, 60,000 more gone. Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers. And it's time we started calling the shots. When they boost your It's a war on the 8-hour day. It's a war on occupational health and safety. It's a war on Social Security. Now, thanks to WTO, GATT, NAFTA, MAI, the IMF, and the World Bank, it's a worldwide war. Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Yeah.
It's a war on the workers. That's Ann Feeney, and this is the Brain Labor Report. This is Wes Brain. I'm host of the show.
This is Jason Houck. I'm the engineer.
Coming to you on Tuesday, June 23rd. I guess the days are getting shorter now. Did you know that? Summer solstice over with. They're getting shorter. I'm not ready for the summer to get over with. I am ready for it to come. This show is not about the weather. I usually make a comment in the morning about it, but this show is really about whether or not ordinary working people are going to get a voice in this country. I'm telling you, the American dream is just falling by the wayside. There's a war on the workers. Ann Feeney says it real well. We cover the struggles of working people. The working class, well, we're not getting a very good deal here. You know, we bail out the banks, and yet when it comes to bail out working people, something like single-payer health care would be a great way to bail out working people. We need a bailout for the working class, and that's the kind of issue. There's a lot of issues that we cover on the Brain Labor Report. We're a half-hour show. Comes to you every morning out of Ashland, Oregon, Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Pacific time. We're at 94.9 FM KSKQ. That's our low-power FM. That's our community radio station here in Ashland. You can hear us anywhere on the internet. via www.kskq.org. Always near the top of our half-hour show, the Brain Labor Report brings you the Workers' Independent News, 3 minutes of cutting-edge news out of Madison, Wisconsin. Folks, this is designed for workers, and the only place you can get this in all of Southern Oregon is through our community radio station, KSKQ. So for Tuesday, June 23rd, 2009, here is the Workers' Independent News.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. Cardinal Theodore McCarrick says the U.S. Catholic Church has reached agreement with organized labor on principles to respect the just rights of Catholic healthcare workers.
It's up to the workers to decide through a fair process whether or not to be represented by a union.
AFL-CIO President John Sweeney.
The theme that runs through all of this is the emphasis on workers' rights to organize as part of church teaching.
6 months of negotiations have gone to the dumps in Toronto. Jesse Russell reports.
Garbage is likely to begin piling up across Toronto as 24,000 Union City workers walked off the job Monday morning. Negotiations broke down during the midnight hour between the city and the union representing indoor and outdoor workers. As a result, some city-run daycare centers canceled, garbage pickups were suspended, city dumps were closed, and some city centers were additionally closed, resulting in wedding postponements. Workers are trying to preserve sick days. Currently, the contract gives workers 18 days a year, and any unused sick days each year can be banked, and workers can cash them in when they retire. The city is concerned that once workers start cashing in on those sick days, it could leave Toronto with an estimated $250 million liability. The union says the system decreases absenteeism and is a benefit to the public interest.
Workers are protesting today at more than a dozen Wells Fargo bank branches in a national day of action supporting Quad City die-casting workers. The United Electrical, Radio, and Machine Workers of America, UE, is taking on Wells Fargo in a bid to get the bank to extend credit to Quad City die-casting and save 100 jobs. UE is the same union that occupied the Chicago Republic Windows and Doors factory last year in a sit-down strike when banks cut off credit to that company. Wells Fargo got $25 billion in federal bailout money, but it's cutting off credit now to a successful company, jeopardizing the jobs. The National Union of Healthcare Workers on Monday filed a challenge in Fresno County, California to the home care providers union election won by SEIU. NUHW alleges that SEIU spent an estimated $10 million and used intimidation and illegal threats in the election. NUHW was formed by leaders of an SEIU local taken over by the International Union. It says just 117 votes out of nearly 6,000 cast could swing this election, and it's challenging the certification of the ballot count. Here's today's economic report. How do the states stack up regarding unemployment? Michigan has the highest average rate in the nation at 14.1%. It's followed in a close second by Oregon at 12.4%. Rhode Island and South Carolina are next at 12.1%. Michigan is also home to Detroit, which has the weakest performing metro area in the country. The national average is 9.4%. You've been listening to WIN, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
And you're listening to the Brain Labor Report. Our guest today is going to be Andrew Handhart, and he is, I think his title's president. We will find out. He's in Idaho. He's in Boise, Idaho. He's with the Idaho Association of Government Employees, and this is an SEIU local there. Not too sure about Idaho employees, not too sure about workers in Idaho. Drove through that state recently, a week or two ago. We came back from Yellowstone, and so that's the brief introduction there. We'll see if we can get Andrew Handhart on the phone here while we play a song. The song we're going to play is, it's been a while since we've played Julius Marglin very much. He's our buddy in his 90s in New York City. How about he has been an elected delegate to the New York City Central Labor Council for well over 30 years. And rank and filer, I'm telling you, he's a union man. And in fact, we made a video about Julius. He's in his 90s, called A Union Man. Now, the song guess what the song's called we're going to play? It's called A Union Man, and it's off George and Julius's album, Just a Few Bad Apples. It's cut number 3. It's called A Union Man. We're going to play this, see if we can get Andrew Hanhart on the telephone for our interview today. Okay, Julius Margolin, A Union Man. Let's cue it up. Here we go.
When I die, throw my ashes to the wind. When I die, throw my ashes to the wind. When I die, throw my ashes to the wind. I've lived my life the best way I can. I've always been a hard-working man. I've always been a hard-working man. I've always been a hard-working man. I've lived my life the best way I can. I've always been a damn good union man. I've always been a damn good union man. I've always been a damn good union man. I've lived my life the best way I can. I've been a seaman, a longshoreman, and in construction too, on assembly lines and factories, and did some farming too. Fought companies, gas, union busting laws, walked many a picket line for musicians, electricians, and workers in the mines. So when I die, throw my ashes to the wind. When I die, throw my ashes to the wind. When I die, throw my ashes to the winds. I've lived my life the best way I can. Proud to live my life the best way I can.
Sorry. Okay, A Union Man, our buddy Julius Margolin, and best to you, Julius. Hope you're listening to us this morning in New York City, and we're going to play more of tunes. Let's play more George and Julius. I'm missing those songs. They did a whole series of CDs. Hail to the Thief, that's right. And, oh, my God, the CDs were about the Bush years, and they were pretty bleak, I'm telling you. And anyway, this, we're talking about George and Julius, and we miss them, and we want them out here. Come visit us, if you would. Okay, I think we got our guest on the phone right now. Can you hear us, Andrew, this morning?
Yes, I can.
Andrew Hanhart is on the phone with us. By gosh, he's over a state line. He's in Idaho. He's in Boise, Idaho. He is with the Idaho Association of Government Employees. He's a brother with SEIU. That's my union. I'm retired from SEIU 503. I think Andrew used to work for 503 also. Let's ask him a little bit about himself. Please, Andrew, welcome to the Brain Labor Report, and please tell us a little bit about yourself. Please.
Sure thing. Good morning. Well, I just celebrated my 16th anniversary in the labor movement proper, although my history goes back to the 7th grade when my mom was on strike at the hospital she worked at, and I got to learn how to make trouble, and it was a wonderful thing, and I've been doing it successfully ever since then. But been here in Idaho. I worked in Oregon for about 8 years for SEIU, and got a call one day asking if I wanted to go to Idaho and fix a troubled local. And I was pretty naive. I thought all states had contracts with state employees. and labor laws and all sorts of things. And it was a shocking wake-up call.
And you're talking about the transition from working in the union movement in Oregon compared to Idaho, if I got it right. Correct?
Yeah, it was a huge shock. It was unbelievable. It still is.
I want to ask you about the shock. You know, recently, Brenda and I, we had a vacation. We got to go to, many people get to do this as a kid. I'd never been to Yellowstone. We got to go to Yellowstone, and I guess coming home, I'm thinking about this, it was June 7th. It was Sunday morning. We were in West Yellowstone, Montana. Woke up, and it was snowing. It was, oh, my God, are we going to get home? I don't know. We did get out of town. We drove all the way through Idaho, and the next night was in Ontario. So it's not too long ago. We had a pretty good view of your state driving through it both directions. And when I say Ontario, Oregon, I've got the Boise's not all that far away. I guess a question geographically. They're in the same general geographic area. They now you help me with this stuff, but the Snake River's there, and it's an agricultural area. Tell us a little bit about that, please.
The distance between us in Ontario, or this
between
Oregon.
I'm looking at them as the same geographical area. Work-wise, there's a lot of things that are happening in Ontario, I'm guessing, tell me, that might be similar to just over the border in your state of Idaho. Yes? No?
You might as well go back 40 years when you take that 45-minute drive from Ontario to Boise, Idaho.
What do you mean by that?
Well, the rules, the laws, and the structure for public employees in Idaho and for a lot of union people here in Idaho is such that you might as well be traveling back in time to when there were too few laws that benefited workers, that benefited working families. Here, it's a nonstop effort to try and strip away, strip away, strip away. And give you an idea, an operating engineer in Idaho makes about $20 less than an apprentice operating engineer in Bend, Oregon.
Oh, my God. Well, why is that? Wait a minute. We're talking about people doing the same kind of work, and it's just a state line. Has that difference in the amount of compensation you get for doing maybe the same work, huh?
Oh, yeah.
What's that about? Wait a minute. Idaho's not tanked that bad in the economy. I mean, are they? I'm trying to put a handle on this. Is there any wealth in your state? What's going on here?
There's a ton of wealth in this state. We have residents like the governor of California keeps the house here in Sun Valley. Bruce Willis has a house up in Sun Valley, and he owns a couple places up there. And the difference, it was explained to me like this. There's in the first floor of the building that I have an office in, there's a fellow who cuts hair there, and we were talking about the economy. We were talking about how working people are treated, and he said, you know, it's sort of like gotten to the point where native Idahoans aren't ever going to make it because the people who are from out of state bring so much money with them. I had a maintenance worker at a park for the Parks and Recs Department, City of Boise. He sold his house in California and moved up here, and I think he bought into about $250,000 house up here and still had change left over. Here, the economy is such that wages are artificially deflated, benefits are looked at. We have a population of 1.5 million, and over 250,000 people here don't have health insurance.
Wow.
It really was just such a shock 8 years ago when I moved here and started to work with a local, and realizing that we still had employees at Boise State University who were members of ours who were making less than $8 an hour.
Oh, my God.
And were getting subsidized meals from Boise State University and subsidized housing from Boise State University.
Well, that's a sad report. I want to ask you more about your local, because I said Idaho Association of Government Employees. I think there's a National Association of Government Employees also. Explain all this to us, and it's not just state employees, is it? You said City of Boise also. I know 503 in Oregon is a mix of all kinds of government employees. Is it the same situation there in Idaho? How many folks are in the union, in your local, too, please?
Right now, we're hovering somewhere between 600 and 700 members in Idaho. Membership is not, you know, we don't have contracts, we don't have fair share, and, you know, those things are sort of pie in the sky right now. We've got about 600 or 700 members. We have members and in local government. We represent, we actually do have collective bargaining agreements with a few places up north in Lewiston. And in fact, I was just up there last week doing some contract work up there, doing some bargaining, and that's been very refreshing. They just joined us. So that's been a huge shot in the arm to finally get my teeth back into a contract after 8 years.
You're talking about the City of Lewiston?
We have the City of Lewiston employees. We have the Nez Perce County Sheriff's and regular employees. And we have a little irrigation district up there. And we're working on moving northward. We've made some good contacts with some city councils. And we're doing it the old-fashioned way, one at a time. That's how we have to get our members. We can't just do a unit clarification vote or anything like that. We actually have to go out and one at a time pick these people up. And it's pretty gratifying in one way, because the people who are members of our local are people who want to be part of the labor movement, but they want to be in a union. They don't feel they're compelled to be there. So we have a real different type of member here than, say, at 503, where you probably ran into it too, where people who were just members because they had to be, they really didn't do stuff for the union. They really, you know, it was really like pulling teeth. Here, a lot of our members are so excited to have the opportunities to be part of this, that it's been that's been very, very gratifying.
Well, thank you for reporting that. You know, it is an exciting movement that we are working in, and even though we've got huge barriers and, you know, the right of association, the right to organize, by the way, the same labor laws we have all over the country are not good, and in a state, they call it a right to work for free state, like Idaho, those laws work in the boss's favor, Andrew, in such a way that the struggles that we're working on from sea to shining sea here in the United States of America to bring back the American dream, those struggles are tough. And it's interesting to look at the different places in America, and in this case, Idaho, and the struggles there. Folks, if you're just joining us, we are on the phone with Andrew Handhart. He's in Boise, Idaho. He's given us a kind of a bird's eye view, if you will, of his fine state, and talking about the employees there, union members of SEIU, their Idaho Association of Government Employees. And, well, to be honest, it doesn't sound good if we talk about what's going on there. Okay, Andrew, where do we go next with this? Want to ask you about, let's talk about health care for just a minute. I don't care what contract it is, union contract. One of the things under attack has been health care. In fact, we spend most of our time in most of our contracts, don't care what union you're talking about, fighting for health care in this country. It's bizarre. In fact, so let's just talk about that. Got pretty good health care. If you got money, I'm going to bet you can get damn good health care in the state of Idaho. But what if you don't have money? Speak to it for a minute, please, Andrew.
Sure thing. You know, health insurance is pretty elusive to a growing number of people in Idaho. And right now they're trying to, those who have it usually tend to have not terrible plans when compared with each other in state. The health insurance our state members have is pretty much under attack right now. Part-time employees up until June 1st had full benefits, and just with a stroke of a pen, the governor's office has charged state employees a 900% increase in their out-of-pocket expenses.
Oh, my God.
And that is something that just today, as a matter of fact, we've been doing lots of information requests, getting a lot of information, putting it together, and we're fixing to do a rally here, hopefully in the next couple of weeks, about it, because you've got single moms who are doing some of these part-time jobs, and single dads doing this stuff, or somebody taking care of a parent, and they just saw their health insurance decimated. And it's a real fight. We've been fighting this fight ever since I got here. But you know what?
Yeah.
When the members here get into issues like this, they tend to really shine and really come together. And you know, it doesn't matter which agency they work for, they hit it hard.
Wow.
And it's so cool to watch because, you know, we don't, people who work with me and myself, we get out of the way. We'll set it up for folks, but we get out of the way and let them do it because their voices are loud.
Wow. Well, that's good work, and good news, too. I want to tell you a secret, and biggest secret in America is what's bubbling just below the surface, just starting to break through mainstream media a little bit. And there's a plan called H.R. 676, single-payer health care, which, by the way, most people know, oh, my God, it's socialism, and they've heard Obama say it's not on the table. Here's a prediction for you, Andrew. We're going to put it on the table. They're bubbling right below the surface. A huge, huge amount of energy of people who are realizing what this is. It's not socialism. It's getting insurance companies the hell out of our lives. In fact, saving so much money. Probably this will be coming back on the table. We're going to make it come to the table, Andrew, because of finances. There's enough money in the system now to pay for health care for everyone if we get the insurance companies out of it. Now, a lot of people don't understand these issues yet, but my prediction to you, Andrew, is this is the civil rights issue of the day, and what's barely bubbling along underneath the surface is going to come mainstream. We're going to put it on the table for the national debate, and by God, this is the most important. It's very exciting. So I don't know if you feel the bubbling underneath the surface, and by gosh, Wes, don't get carried away here. You got less than 2.5 minutes to go on the Brain Labor Report. But Andrew, I got a prediction for you. This is the civil rights issue of the day, and by gosh, we're going to put it on the table, Andrew. So there's a little enthusiasm for you. I don't know if you... Go ahead.
You know, there's a really weird ally that we have here in the state system, and it's the football coach.
Okay.
Here's a guy who makes like $1.5 million a year. He's the highest paid state employee.
Wow.
And a lot, half of that money or more so comes from private donations. But everybody talks about the BSU Broncos. They're always undefeated. And, you know, everybody thinks that this guy is framed somehow. But he is on the record and speaks quite often in public about single payer. And so we've got a really visible person in the state who's going to help you guys and help us and help me get the word out on single payer because he's a huge advocate for it.
Get ready, folks. It's going to be part of the national bait. It's going to be on the table. And Obama is going to be forced to, we're going to make him do it. And this is an exciting thing going on here. Okay, my gosh, just about a minute left to go. We've been speaking with Andrew Hanhart this morning. We've been getting a bird's eye view of what it's like to be a worker in the state of Idaho. And in fact, the barriers to being a union worker and fighting for workers' rights. Great talking to you this morning, Andrew. Brain Labor Report wants you back on the show, please, down the road. Let's keep the conversation going. You know, America is not just strong union places like Portland and, you know, maybe Boston, Massachusetts. It happens to be Idaho. It happens to be places where the struggle's a little tougher. Okay, we've got just a few seconds left to go. Want to thank you. Any last words? Last words, please, Andrew.
Well, I just invite anybody who's familiar with Idaho or has friends here, tell them that there is a labor movement in Idaho, and it's alive, it's kicking, and it's growing.
Very good. Solidarity, brother. Hang in there, okay?
Hey, Solidarity. You take care, man. It's an excellent show. Thank you very much, and have an excellent day.
Wonderful. Folks, we'll be back again tomorrow. Got to say goodbye. Okay, see everybody then.